Chema. So, basically preparation of a Darshan day, and of course, as you mentioned, what is special about 24th November 2026, that's what you're referring to, right? So, it's the 100 years this time of two centenaries or three centenaries. Let's first get the context. Because 24th November, 15th August, that will come every year, and it would apply every Darshan day to another Darshan day we should prepare. But basically, we are celebrating this year one centenary of the Siddhi Day. Sri Aurobindo's personal sadhana got over on 24th November 1926. Which sadhana? Which he had begun in Alipur jail. Actually, sadhana began earlier. But outwardly, very clearly, Sri Krishna came and started giving him the whole program. Then he got the program of yoga. And then he went through a very, very rigorous practice, which is there in records of yoga. Finally, on 24th November 1926, his individual sadhana got over. Sri Krishna entered and into his being, became one with him. The personality of Sri Krishna, the one who had come as the avatar. So now all that was there in Sri Krishna comes in Sri Aurobindo at every level. And now the next step has to be taken forward. So next step is collective evolution. So collective yoga has to start. That's why after that Sri Aurobindo started taking disciples. So one is Sri Aurobindo's personal sadhana getting completed. Second is a new phase begins, and that phase is marked by what is known as the birth of the ashram. Sri Aurobindo never used a date like that, you know, like we do, okay, tomorrow we are going to start the ashram. Today we are going to start. Okay, now my sadhana is over. Sri Aurobindo is not in the habit of doing it. Everything he does so subtly, perfect gentleman. Mother speaks of the 24th November that she saw Sri Krishna fusing with Sri Aurobindo, and she went in to tell him that this is what she has seen. Sri Aurobindo just opened his eyes and he says, yes, yes, I know that. Now we have to begin the next phase and you have to take charge. So this day is also important when mother took charge. You want to put it officially, you can put officially. But basically before that, in the ashram, everybody was like a laissez-faire. Whatever is the correct pronunciation in French. Everybody was, because Sri Aurobindo is vast. People say that in front of him, you could sit, it's like Himalaya. You could do anything, shout anything, you would be completely unaffected. And people used to read newspaper when Sri Aurobindo is gazing at the wall constantly, and in his, they would read newspaper, sometimes they would discuss things. I mean, hours Sri Aurobindo would be sitting and just concentrating with open eyes. And whenever anything is required for him, they are present. You know, these four disciples, later on six disciples. Whenever he would need something, then they are there. So you can imagine that, you know, they lived in that kind of freedom. So they didn't know about sadhana, anything. Their state was, we are with Sri Aurobindo, that's all that is required. Now what happened on 24th November 1926, suddenly Sri Aurobindo went into the background. So this we are talking of when there were evening talks, all these disciples. Four or six disciples comes later, but they would come, sometimes be around. Suddenly, from 24th November 1926, Sri Aurobindo completely retired into seclusion, and then there were just very few disciples, depending that too. In fact, after 1938, the fracture that these four or five or six people came. Otherwise, it was mainly Champak Lalji and a couple of people. Somebody to take care of the room. Dhuman Bhai would go and clean the room. Mother had given him only one instruction. You will not look up and see Sri Aurobindo's face. 5 years he did that. Never looked at Sri Aurobindo's face. What a temptation he must have resisted. Somebody had to arrange for his bath water. He would come and place the bath water. This is how the ashram. But mother was taking care of all the disciples. So this, every day evening they could sit and talk to Sri Aurobindo whenever. They stopped. This created a lot of uncomfortable feeling also in the ashram, especially in his brother, Barin. And those who were associated from Chandanagar, Motilal Roy, all these. Because Sri Aurobindo would tell them that, look, now you have to go through the mother. So they didn't like it. Ego is hurt. Some of them went away. I think 1930, Barinda went away. Later on he lamented. But he knew that mother is all full of grace, so she will take care of me. So a lot of changes started because mother's approach was very different. You know what happens in a house? Father's approach, comes back from, okay, karne do, kya chahiye bachche ko, de do. I don't know, many people, I think most houses, this is the format. If you have a child, father is like, okay, theek hai. He is busy with something else. Mother, she will make sure that, you know, you get it if you, she will prepare you, she will guard you, she'll take care of you in ways which is incomprehensible. So when mothers took over, then people, their lives changed. Even when she came in 1920, their lives began to change. Before that, they would sit in front of Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo is sitting and they are also sitting on chairs and as if they are all together. And just to think about Sri Aurobindo's humility. Actually, even in 1920, if you look at it, he is Yogeshwara. To speak about his experiences and realizations. And he is sitting there. All of them are sitting on chairs around him. If you read the evening talks, you will see. They would laugh. Sometimes they would contradict and how everything will go on. But with the mothers coming and taking charge, everything began to change. So people would describe that with Sri Aurobindo, they felt it's all infinity. We can, you know. With mother, that infinity was concentrated in a point. And so much so that Niroddha recounts very interestingly that even when Sri Aurobindo's after the leg fracture, whoever is around, he recounts one incident and he says this is how things change. So suddenly one day Sri Aurobindo, he is talking casually, they are all suddenly, casual means they could ask, like they felt like that with him. Suddenly he sits little carefully and say, mother is coming. So everybody becomes quiet because she had thus this power incarnate. So we have this saying in the Upanishads, no, that knowledge liberates. What does power do? Power transforms. It's not there, power transforms, but because Tantra, power also ultimately. Knowledge liberates, power transforms. So people describe that just a presence. People became so conscious. There are some of the disciples who are still there, so I won't take the name. She was saying that one day she went and told mother, I have this pain or something. And mother just looked at that spot. It was like that whole place, it has become fire. And then it just cleanses away. So many stories of this lady who was Taradi's bua. She was telling me that she had a big boil or some big pain in the... You see, this is how one learns that how mother's ways are so different. So she had a big pain in the neck or something, or in the, yes, there was some boil which had got infected. A lot of pain was there. And so somebody said, why don't you see the mother? She said, what will she do? Very, you know, she taught me one thing, that don't go by somebody having seen the mother. Because when I came to know, I was like, I just want to know somebody who has seen the mother and Shurabindo. And because she had Shurabindo's darshan also, I would fall at the feet. You know, in the beginning you have that. And luckily that day I saw, and she told me, will you leave me to my house? I said, yes, please come. So she narrated this story. So she said, I went to see her. Mother looked at me and said, what is this that you are having? And gave her a slap. You expect no sympathy, pity. She doesn't know. I mean, slap means, what is this you are doing? Like that. Not slap like a tight slap. That. And she was quite amazed. She didn't ask anything more. And gave her some flowers. She said, but what I noticed is that this pain for last 1 month I was having, it disappeared. So she's thinking how it disappeared. As she's coming down the stairs, she's wondering, what has happened to my pain? It disappeared. She acts very differently. I've recounted my first, I keep saying humorously, command of the mother, stop smoking. And I never had the urge after that. How? What? No idea. She is that power. But to receive that power, to open to that power, you require. The whole sadhana is, she would want us to be, and that's where the four aspects of the mother comes into play. What does Maheshwari want? She wants us to be wide, equal, patient. This is a way of working. What does Mahakali want? People often want to progress fast and they say, I want to do meditation and progress very fast. There is a very interesting story about it. Someone went to a master. There is something very similar. Sri Aurobindo also says very similar. So he said, I want to progress very fast. So I am meditating so much. If I meditate, how much time it will take? So he said, it'll take you maybe around 10 years. He said, I'll double my meditation. So he said, then maybe 20 years. He said, no, master, you didn't get me. I'll make it 3 times. He said, 30 years. This is how we think. That it's like go in and go out. It's like an ATM card. I am meditating for 3 hours, so divine will give me this much. If I meditate for 6 hours, he'll give me more. To start with, sitting is not meditation. So that's why the integral yoga, because there is so much inside us on which it has to be worked. Second is that there was no format in which she is infinite. So people describe one very interesting story where she was, because this is the more important event. Siddhi Day is Sri Aurobindo's personal Siddhi. But Siddhi Day is the mother taking charge of the sadhana. People forget that. Mother took charge of the sadhana. So one disciple, one long time, he was telling me, all of us are disciples that way, about his father who lived in the ashram for 12 years, then came back. Mother asked him to go back, whatever, because there were a lot of pull that get married. And anyway, so that's a personal story. But he was saying something very interesting. That once he asked the mother, that mother, I'm in the playground doing this work, that work. So I would like to meditate a little. So I would need time. She said, okay, no need to go to the playground. You can do your meditation. So his friend, he said, okay, I don't want to go to playground. Now I can ask the mother and I'll also sit for meditation. So he went to the mother. He wrote, not went, both wrote letters. So he wrote to the mother, mother, this happened. I also don't want to really be in the playground. I would also want to meditate. She writes back, it'll be much better if you continue in the playground. So, divine works differently in different people. We try to fix a format, try to, often what mother wants, she does not want, she likes, does not like. We have to instead open ourselves. All these are mental notions, cobwebs actually, which prevent the light from coming in. What do we know? What she wants, she doesn't want. And with one person, she does one way. Another, same person, one moment she'll do something, and another moment, read Maheshwari, picking up of line and dropping off. All this she does. Chotnaranji story that, you know, he would often see frightening Rakshasas coming in Golkund. And he once went and told the mother, "Mother, I feel frightened because I see all these Rakshasas coming and sucking blood from my chest." He himself told me this story. So mother didn't say anything. Neither said anything. Rakshasas are continuing. Again he told, twice he told. Third time when he went and told, "Mother, I am very afraid these Rakshasas are coming." Mother told him, see how she works very differently at different points of time. "If you are so afraid, you cannot do this yoga. If you are so full of fear, you cannot do this yoga." He said, "Now though I am doubly scared. Because now what do I do? What do I say if I am so afraid? But I am afraid. I went to tell her. She said, if you are afraid, you cannot do the yoga." Now he is caught in a strange situation. Then all this fear came out in the form of a big boil in the foot. So again he went. "Mother, I have a boil in the foot." She looked and he says, "My whole body was on fire. So much fire. Everything was as if on fire." And she didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. Now there is a new problem which has come up. See the mother's ways. Now that was a little boil, manageable. The whole body is burning. Night there are these fellows, asuras, rakshasas. Daytime body is burning. Sleep. He went and told, "Mother, I don't know what to do." "Go back." Mother's ways. Huh? So, mother's agya, go back. And he had a vision and dream of Sri Aurobindo asking him to come. So you see how you connect. It's not as simple as that. Mother had called him. So he goes back, and as he goes, Chennai, half the fire is gone. By the time he reaches his place, 100% cured. Everything gone. So what is all this? Then he later on came back. Finally he stayed here, lived here. Wonderful person. Beautiful experiences. And he asked the mother, "What should I do?" So mother said, "Whatever you are doing, you continue. You are reading and writing on Sri Aurobindo, giving talks, continue." She didn't give any other work, this work. It continued. So we try to fix formats, put people in slot, put mother wants this. What do we know? We don't know anything. And that story of both these stories point towards something which is related to this yoga. Very often people talk about these meditation courses, 3-day, 5-day retreat, feel good, wonderful, very good. Yoga is a serious business. And Sri Aurobindo's letters are there that the first step which is indispensable in the yoga is purification, which sometimes needs 10 years, 12 years. And that is very painful. Everybody talks about it. Whoever can go through it, will go through. Everywhere. And he'll burn away all the coverings. We go to the divine wearing all the nice clothes. And it is his old habit. He will say, he will steal the clothes, hide them. "You are coming out of the water. Sir, give me my dress." "You come out." Sri Aurobindo speaks about this in aphorism, one of his aphorisms, about stealing of the clothes of gopis. It's about that when, and he describes it very beautifully, which is a very difficult part of the sadhana. He says, "When God came and plucked my robe of sin, I let it go." But when he came to pluck my robe of virtue, I held. Bhagwan, pura hi nanga kar doge. You don't want to leave even because you have to rise beyond it. This is what the Gita also, robe of virtue. And then you become a child of the Divine Mother. As long as one, because only a child can be like that before the Divine Mother. No, he is what he is. A child doesn't, you know, I must look good, I must be like that. You are like a baby. And that is ultimate liberation. Then she remolds us. So this purification here is not about moral, ethical purification. That's okay, that is helpful. Subtly, many people take it like divine is beyond morality, so I can eat, drink and be merry. No, that's not what is meant. That's minimum understood. But here, purity means to be under the influence of the divine and nothing else. And nobody else. Extremely difficult. There's so many influences from the past, from the world around, people. And to go by what the divine within me is leading me, not these mental ideas, conceptions. So this is the path, wonderful path. I'll again read some passage and maybe after that we can... So this is how we have to prepare. What is purity? To be completely under the mother's influence. So she says, but it's quite clear that these people can't grasp it. They're a closed door, not even a door of bronze, but of bricks and cement, impenetrable. And this is, then she says, poor Sri Aurobindo, because he's trying to, you know, free us from all this. And now here is a description on one of the darshan days where she describes the layers of humanity. We have to see where we are and how the work is going on. Sri Aurobindo shows to Mother this, the how humanity is. There was all the humanity which is not altogether, no longer altogether animal. That's a take. Animal means chino, japto, either say, just worried about foodie. All these, no, animals are not that bad. Animals eat food, forget about it. Foodie is thinking about food all the time. Which has benefited by mental development and created a kind of harmony in its life, a harmony vital and artistic, literary, in which the large majority are content to live. They are very happy. They have achieved something artistically and otherwise. They have caught a kind of harmony and within it they live life as it exists in a civilized surroundings. That is to say, somewhat cultured with refined tastes and refined habits. And all this life has a certain beauty where they are at ease, and unless something catastrophic happens to them, they live happy and contented, satisfied with life. It is very profound, this whole conversation of the mother, and if we really look deeper into it, we'll see many things. These people can be drawn because they have a taste, they are intellectually developed. They can be attracted by the new forces, the new things, the future life. For example, they can become disciples of Sri Aurobindo mentally, intellectually. But they do not feel at all the need to change materially. This is a kind of disciple intellectually, but don't feel the need to change within. And if they were compelled to do so, it would be first of all premature, unjust, and would simply create a great disorder. She's telling us, don't let each one go in their own way and disturb their life altogether uselessly. Because once the divine starts operating, as some of these examples we have taken, then you cannot, once you have handed over, divine has said yes, mother has said, then the whole world cannot keep you away. What she will do, anything that you are vicariously attached, anything which you, all that will be stripped bare. This was very clear. Then there were some rare individuals who were ready to make the necessary effort to prepare for the transformation and to draw the new forces, to try to adapt matter, to seek means of expression, etc., these are ready for the yoga of Sri Aurobindo. So she makes a difference between intellectual disciples and the yoga. This is a preparation for the other. They are very few in number. There are even those who have this sense of sacrifice. What it needs to be a disciple, she is saying in a very nice, beautiful way. And are ready for a hard, painful life if that would lead or help towards this future transformation. It may or may not be needed. But they are ready to go through whatever it takes. But they should not in any way try to influence the others and make them share in their own effort. It would be altogether unfair. She is so, you know, that don't try to push, convert and try to. It would create conflicts and end in a chaos. And then she says that it changed her way of looking at things. Mother, in 1960s, she's talking of, you know, what a wonderful, what shall I say, with seeing this, she takes a different approach. This is a decisive change. And what seemed in the earlier position to be obstinacy, clumsiness, inconscience, all kinds of deplorable things, all that has disappeared. It was like the vision of a great universal rhythm in which each thing takes its place and everything is all right. And the effort for transformation reduced to a small number becomes a thing much more precious and much more powerful for the realization. Now once few people are transformed or are transforming, they exercise a natural pull. It is as though a choice has been made for those who will be the pioneers of the new creation. And all these ideas of spreading or preparing or of churning matter are a childishness. And then she has the vision of the divine love. Not a divine love that pardons. It is not at all that. Each thing in its place, realizing its inner rhythm as perfectly as it can. It was a very beautiful gift. And then she says, she looks at the plant life. Again, humanity is striving towards a state of harmony. And then the comparisons. And then she gives an example. Animality under the mind's influence has become another thing, which is naturally mixed because the mind was incomplete. In the same way, there are examples of a harmonious humanity among well-balanced people, and this seemed to be what humanity could become under the supramental influence. So she speaks about 2-3 layers. One who will be into the yoga, other is an uplifted humanity, more harmonious. Still mental human beings, but still harmonious. And this says it is still a process of transition. But it would be something that would have the power to eliminate all error, all deformation, all the ugliness of the mental life. And then a humanity very happy, very satisfied with being human, not at all feeling the need of being anything other than human, but with a human body beauty, a human harmony. And then she sees all the contradictions disappear, there is a great repose, the tension, the friction goes away. So there is a question the disciple asks, which is, becomes relevant. That is to say, now disciple is asking, you concentrate the work instead of diffusing it a little everywhere? Only in the ashram? Don't diffuse it everywhere? Mother's answer, no, it may be diffused materially. This is what she speaks of in other conversation also. And that's about the ashram, where she says, now the ashram life to be even viable has to spread in different places. It's not like only a geographical, fixed geographical place. Because the individuals are not necessarily collected together, but they are few in number. They are people you will meet and you will know, okay, this is like same house. And there are people who are turned, but yet there is a little layer. And it should be realized in first in a few. And finally, she speaks of something which people experience, they don't talk about it, but for example, now look what she says. One of the very concrete things that brings out the problem well, two problems, main problems of the yoga, which Sri Aurobindo speaks about, food and sex, these are the two directly connected to the biological stuff of the body. Humanity has the sexual impulse in an altogether natural, spontaneous, and I would say legitimate. This impulse will naturally and spontaneously disappear with animality. Many other things will disappear. As for example, the need to eat. These are the two problems. Sri Aurobindo speaks about it in Supramental Manifestation. And perhaps also the need to sleep in the way we sleep now. But the most conscious impulse in a superior humanity which has continued as a source of, though humanity is climbing, so she could see through all this, superior humanity, but which has continued to as a source of joy, is certainly the sexual activity. And that will have absolutely no reason for existence in the functions of nature when the need to create in that way will no longer exist. So she has given us the whole program. Therefore, the capacity of entering into relation with the joy of life will rise by one step or will be oriented differently. It doesn't mean you will become, you'll actually be in a greater joy, even a relationship, because it's not degrading towards that. But what these spiritual aspirants had sought on principle, sexual negation, is an absurd thing. Because this must be only for those who have gone beyond this stage and no longer have animality in them. So she explains all this so interestingly. And it must drop off naturally, without effort and without struggle. To make of it a center of conflict and struggle is ridiculous. It is only when the consciousness ceases to be human that it drops off quite naturally. So the whole stress should be on the consciousness growing into a divinity, and then it will drop off. Here also there is a transition, because it's not like here and there, but there will be a transition which may be somewhat difficult, because the beings of transition are always in an unstable equilibrium. But within oneself there is a kind of flame and a need which makes it not painful. It is not painful effort. It is something that one can do with a smile. But to seek to impose it upon those who are not ready for this transition is absurd. It is common sense. It is only when spontaneously the impulse becomes impossible for you, when you feel that it is something painful and contrary to your deeper need, that it becomes easy. Then, well, externally, you cut these bonds and it is finished. And same thing with regard to food. She speaks about, and at the end, we'll close this. She explains, she has a total vision of the entire process. This is a kind of humanity which is animal, which will collapse. Don't worry about it. While seeing the classic picture is taking the selfie and falling into the river. It is a sad story, but this is how humanity is. Okay, not everybody falls into the river, but in the current of life, there is a nice term they use, go with the flow. Sometimes I ask, which flow? What do you mean, sir? There are several flows. Everything is a flow, because nature is in flux. There is a tamasic flow which doesn't seem like a flow at all. There is a rajasic flow. There is an intellectual flow. And there is a spiritual flow. There is a divine flow. Which flow? Go with the flow is like whatever comes to me is coming from truth. There can be nothing more stupid than that. But anyway. So she says, what do you say? When you see, you do not go and say to an animal, you are an idiot. You say it is an animal. What a different way. Well, you say it is a man. It is a man. Only there are those who are no longer men and are not yet gods. And they are in a situation rather awkward. So these are the beings of transition who are neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. She is carrying us, but she has given us the roadmap. But it was so soothing, so sweet, so wonderful, this vision, each thing expressing its kind quite naturally. And it is quite evident that with the amplitude and totality of the vision, there comes something which is a compassion that understands. And good, we are reading, otherwise with all those examples, people think, people had this misconception, mother is strict. Not at all. It's love. Everything that she did, spoke, sometimes was Maheshwari's love, sitting above and aloof and calm and distant and equanimity. Sometimes, very rarely, it was Mahakali's love. Sometimes, most often, it was Mahalakshmi's love, filling us with beauty and joy and or stepping behind. Sometimes it's Mahasaraswati's love in the smallest details, teaching us. And then she had a compassion that understands, not that pity of the superior for the inferior, the true divine compassion, which is the total comprehension that each one is what he must be. So she is carrying all of us, each in their own way. That's why in this yoga there is no, again I'm emphasizing this, there is no external guides who are conducting guidance on integral yoga. You don't need it, because see, whoever has gone, he has gone in his way. He cannot, you can't transpose that onto somebody else. Mother is guiding each one in their own way. So there can be general thing, there can be elder brother, younger brother, that's okay. Thoda bahut haath idhar pakad liya, udhar pakad, that's okay. And that's what Shivinda said in the synthesis of yoga. He'd be like a brother. That's why we have the term here in the ashram, coming back from where we had started. How far reaching mothers, you know, nowadays many people find it very strange. Bacche log respect nahi dete hain, ye nahi, wo nahi. You know, in the ashram long back, long, long back, how futuristic mother is. So, what about, say, a 20-year-old or 25-year-old came and there was a 60-year-old sadhak? How would he address? By the name. Nalini, Amrita. And mother had a very interesting logic about it. She, apart from bringing humility and all that, she had a very interesting logic. He said, don't make them feel old. Chacha ji, Dada ji, Tao ji, it's okay, uncle. But see, how she broke those norms with very far-reaching consequences. And also the elderly started feeling like children. They played football, that's how Nalini da writes. Because now children are mixing. Hey Nalini, what are you doing? They used to take, no, I'm not joking. Nalini da, they would call by name. This is actually one of the... Then some of the old timers got very shocked. That mother, like, thoda to kuch. Then this da-di business started. There's no da, no di. You could take the name, and it's something very beautiful if you really look at it that way. What is respect got to do by adding a suffix? People call papa and then after that abuse you. What is the point of doing all that? So this kind of futuristic, how women and men walking together, doing march past, sees the future. So Sri Aurobindo, to close it, Sri Aurobindo is the future advancing towards its own realization. He's playing the flute and we are following him. Listen to the flute, you will arrive. Listen to the noise around, then you'll miss out at some point and he would be gone. Where has he gone? Flute player goes. Then you are asking somebody, he'll say, I don't know, I never heard any flute. So follow the flute of, as he says in one of his poems, Sahana, with Shyama for slave and for master. Chema.